Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, he didn't have a setback. I mean, it was on and off throughout the week. He was able to practice throughout the week. Just it was always bothering him to a degree. And sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it comes back. And today it was bothering him a little too much to where we didn't feel good about it.
And then lastly on, if he's worried about it lingering.
Always. I mean, it's been lingering the last few weeks.
Oh, boy.
But it's getting better and better. And hopefully it'll be better next week.
He's worried about it lingering. There you go, Goo.
I mean, no, it's
even
just
even the head coaches.
Yeah, nah, Stoddy, it's just nobody's being a worry ward. It's just that type of injury, and we've seen it. And I don't want to bring up the names, but our guy Emmanuel Acho from the facility on FS1 joined us yesterday, and he brought up when he hears calf, Kevin Durant. And I keep bringing up Greenlaw. That's what he battled all year, partner. And he was a soldier, battled it out, and he lost, you know, in the Super Bowl, unfortunately. So this is what bothers me about this injury, and you tell me what you think. Not trying to play Dr. Daryl here. I don't know if rest is the remedy. Because at some point, you got to go. You know what I mean? You got to test it like Durant did, like Greenlaw did. So that's why I'm a little, you know, nervous about it. But my fallback and default mechanism, partner, is Kyle, as crazy as this sounds, is not a slave to one player. We talked about the Super Bowl in 19 with a different cast of running backs. How did that work out? It worked. Elijah Mitchell, Breida, Mostert. This dude is special. So I'm not writing McCaffrey off after 1 week. I'm not doing that at all. But be careful. And right now it looks like Mason and the rest of the gang, whoever that is, Stoddy, are going to be able to hold it down. Because if I'm Minnesota, I'm not throwing a party that we possibly might not face McCaffrey after watching what J.P. Mason and this offensive line did to the Jets. That wasn't no sorry-ass defense last night.
Look, I'm going to put it this way, and you know, notice how I'm going to say this. They can win with Jordan Mason.
Yeah,
they can win with Jordan Mason.
All right.
No, I didn't say they can win a Super Bowl, but
they can win, they already have.
They can absolutely win with Jordan Mason, and you're right. They've won before McCaffrey got here, and if McCaffrey's not available, they're going to win games with Jordan Mason too, because that's who Kyle is. I think. Now, the 49ers have to determine how safe they're going to be with McCaffrey. I get it. But it's a long season. He's got plenty of time to heal. And what, you're already Rams lost.
Everybody in the division.
Seattle won.
Yeah,
Seattle
wasn't that impressive, won. But they won.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely
won. Let me just last think about this, Donnie. You don't like this hanging over your head, though. You know what I mean? You can win and still have this, how are we going to handle it? How is he feeling? And then the one thing that makes you want to pour a double shot, partner, is when he does come back, how does it hold up? You know? It's not when he comes back. It's how the body holds up, obviously, with any injury.
Yeah, you know, you said you don't want this hanging over your head. I got to tell you, I don't think it is. I think the nature of football is McCaffrey's hurt. Jordan Mason's going to play running back until he's ready.
All right.
And I really don't feel like that affects the 49ers. I'm talking in terms of their locker room and their veterans and what they need to accomplish this year. I mean, they think they can win a Super Bowl. And if Christian McCaffrey is banged up early in the year, maybe you use that to your advantage. You keep his touches down a little bit, and maybe you get a fresher McCaffrey at the end of the season. But you can't tell me that without Christian McCaffrey, all of a sudden this team's not a playoff team.
And I won't do that. And I think the proof of the matter is we saw a glimpse of that last night.
Here's Kyle Shanahan on how well the team played despite what happened off the field during the offseason.
I'm with our team every day, so I know there's lots of news stories and stuff with holdouts and things like that and when are people coming back, but Our guys have been awesome in practice. They've been very focused. You know, anytime guys don't get a lot of practice in, you know, I wish we could have more. So I wanted to mesh more with those guys who just got here this week. But being able to get four practices in with those guys, having the extra day, things like that was great for them. Still got a long way to go. Today by no means was perfect. There were some parts that were sloppy, but just overall, all three phases played really well together. Being able to score there at the end of the half and with the field goal, run the clock out, score the opening drive of the third quarter, our defense getting the two turnovers, our kicker going 6 for 6, being able to have 37 runs. I look at that as a complete team goal that we try to do. So I was real happy with just the team overall.
That was Kyle Shanahan from last night talking about how the team overcame the Aiyuk, the Trent Williams situation, and even throwing Ricky Pearsall in there, who's going to miss the first four games after being shot in Union Square 2 weeks ago.
They had the young woman, the police officer that got to him, you know, when he got shot, Stoney. So that was a moment yesterday. She was at the game.
You know, here's the other thing that I was thinking about, and it's this. There's been so much talk about, well, they didn't get it done last year, and they haven't gotten it done in this last 5 years when they made four NFC championships and two Super Bowls. And I get the goal is to win a Super Bowl. But after a game like last night, and it's twofold. One is the way they played last night, and then two is it just happened to be the season opener. But the way I looked at last night is they win 32-19, and I feel like officially last year's now in the past. You can't take the fact that they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs away, but that's over now. You can't look back on that. And I don't think the 49ers are as a team. I think they're disappointed about last year, but they know that they have just as good a shot this year, and worrying about last year is not going to help at all. The bottom line is they're 1-0. They've started off this season well with a convincing win. They're a favorite in the NFC. And to me, what a game like last night does is it puts the residue of last year behind them. You lose that game, and maybe people are starting to think differently, but I think that's what last night's game did for me, too. I wouldn't mind hearing how 49er fans think about that, too. I mean, we spent all offseason talking about this team not getting over the hump, this team not being able to seal the deal. And they're not going to be able to seal the deal until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So when I looked at last night's game, I just feel like, okay, this is the 2024 San Francisco 49ers. It's a different version of the team last year. Even if it has most of the same players, it's a new year. And I feel like last night's game makes it official that now it's time to kind of look forward and look to their next game and look at how we played against the Jets, as opposed to, let's say, exercising the demons of the past Super Bowls. They're just not going to be able to win a Super Bowl until they get to the Super Bowl. So there's nothing they can do right now, Goo, except win as many games as possible, get to the postseason, and give it another try.
Yeah, and I feel like you could cue up the John Lynch sound to Kawakami. Like, you can't assume anything. You got to earn that right to get in the playoffs and then get back to the Super Bowl. But, Stoney, I know you caught me early on today bringing up last year, but you won't again. That was my biggest takeaway leaving the stadium yesterday. It was a reminder just how good this team is. Like, hear me again. It was a reminder of just how good and loaded this team is, how crafty, how genius-like this coach is when it comes to calling offense, the designs of the run plays, the pass plays, everything involved. You are right, partner. Nobody is crying in their beer wearing a Niner uniform right now about last year. It's about this year, and my goodness, they got some, I guess we could call it bad news, 90 minutes before the game against the Jets, a vaunted Jets team, I believe. And what happens? They go out and dominate the time of possession defensively with their new defensive line. Bosa and Hargrave got help from Floyd Collins and the rest of the gang. They were nasty. And the Niners right now are, Steiny, I'm saying this and I mean this, even with McCaffrey on the sideline, right now, until proven otherwise, they are the class of the NFC. They just are.
Kyle Shanahan, you want to hear his post-game speech?
Yeah.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you're into speeches.
Oh, this is to the team.
Yeah, this is okay. after they won. This is Kyle Shanahan in the post-game locker room.
Hey, guys, hell of a job, man. All right, game, everybody across the board. How many runs do we get? 37 runs, guys. Hey, awesome job, man. Guys, hell of a job, man. We got Minnesota. It'll be a very quick turnaround. You guys get your rest. Take advantage of tomorrow. Appreciate you guys. Awesome game.
Hey, man. All work, no look. Mm-hmm. This only beginning. Mm-hmm. Hey, Niners on three. Niners on three. One, two, three.
Niners! Anybody recognize the voice after Shanahan?
I'm not sure who that was.
I'm
a layout.
All work, no luck. Need a little luck. Well, a little luck doesn't hurt.
Last time they were in Mini, they lost.
Well.
Well,
of course they did.
Just last year?
Kirk Cousins picked them apart.
Well, stop it.
They don't have Kirk Cousins, though, this year.
Yeah. Sam Darnold revenge game. Yeah. We'll get to it.
I think it's interesting that the biggest, to me, that tells me what Kyle Shanahan's point of emphasis is, and it's running. The thing he's most happy about last night is 37 runs.
Yeah.
And so
Debo got eight of them.
Yeah, we talked about that 50-50 run-pass ratio. Well, they ran 37 times, and Brock Purdy threw 29 times. So that ratio is leaning more toward the run as opposed to the pass, at least for one game, Goo.
Yeah, and we'll see if it continues. And like I said, I know you laugh at me. I want to focus on last night, but, you know, at some point, Mason's going to have to be spelled. Stoney's going to have to – we're going to see somebody else step up, and it'll be an opportunity until we figure out what's going on with McCaffrey. But I like where they're at, and more than that, I like who they are. And, again, I just pointed out at the beginning of this show that, you know, hey, did you want six field goals? Obviously not, but a couple touchdowns were wiped off the board. But the Niners did everything they pretty much wanted to offensively and defensively. They're not going anywhere. And again, it's just not about if, Steiny, when they can get over the top.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Guru and I have our One Big Thing segment. And if you guys want to join in, this is your time to do it. At noon every day after a 49ers game, Guru and I will deliver our One Big Thing.
One.
From last night's game, the biggest key that we thought, the most important aspect of last night's game, that's coming up at 12. If you want to jump in and give us your one big thing, now's the time to do it. 888-957-9570. And one big thing. What's your one big thing from last night? One big thing from last night's 32-19 win over the New York Jets. We'll do that at noon.
All right.
At noon, a guru.
I'm ready for you.
Noon.
Ready for you all.
By the way, I may want to work something into this show today.
Feel free.
I spent a lot of time last night.
Last night.
Listening to coaches' post-game press conferences from Sunday. I got a scouting report on a few teams.
All right.
This should be fun. Yeah, I'll go through that maybe at 12:30, right. Something like that. But I've got some things to say about the Lions, the Chargers, the Raiders, Dolphins, Browns, even the New York Giants.
This is a great bit because they can get testy, Steiny.
Yeah, they can.
These post-game pressers.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And Kyle Shanahan, a little bit testy.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. I told him he had to be ready a bunch, but I might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. I told him that he was going to have to, it wasn't going to be like usual. He was going to be a number two back that was splitting a lot of the time, but now he didn't know he for sure was doing that till today.
There you go. Just be ready.
Nah.
Told him to be ready.
Go ahead.
What'd you think of Rodgers last night, Gu?
You know what? I'm grading on a curve. It was the first game in 22 months, and there was obviously a rust factor, but who he was also playing. And this Niner defense was they were nasty. They've been nasty. So I just don't like the offensive approach from the New York Jets. But they did what they thought was best. They know more than me. But the bottom line, he left a lot to be desired. But as far as our conversation yesterday where I was getting mad and you didn't know it, the arm strength was there. He just, like his head coach said after the game, Robert Saleh, he couldn't get in the rhythm because every time he looked up, he had a little happy feet. They were slower happy feet. But as far as, you know, Steiny, if you're asking me, am I backing off my Jet prediction for them to do some damage in the AFC, I'm not. But I don't think that was the best version of Rodgers. Now, they went on that long drive early, 70 yards, 12 plays. I was like, uh-oh, okay, this is it. But the Niners were in zone, cover three a lot, Steiny, I believe. He picked that apart. They went man and pinned their ears back and got after him. And he looked like the Aaron Rodgers that the Niners had victimized many a days in the postseason.
This from the Xfinity mobile text line. I got to disagree with this from the 510. 510 saying Brock was not as impressive. He looked Jimmy-esque at times. I mean, I didn't see that.
I mean, he had a throw or two to where you're kind of, did you have to make that one? But I wouldn't say Jimmy. I'm going you. They won 32. Come on now.
I don't remember.
They put up 32 points.
I don't remember one throw that could have been picked off that Purdy threw last night. And you know what? The bottom line is, on a Kyle Shanahan coach team, I think Shanahan would rather have somebody who commits absolutely no turnovers. I think he'd rather have a guy who throws no touchdowns with no interceptions as opposed to one touchdown and one interception or two touchdowns and two interceptions. I just think that Shanahan just does not want Purdy to be the guy making mistakes on a team like this with so many weapons.
Yeah, and my lock of the day for Prize Picks yesterday, Steiny, was more than 228 passing yards for Brock Purdy. Pay me. 231 yards and Steiny, 29 pass attempts. So not only did they run, they were able to pass it, spread it around, but also, like you said, 38 minutes and 40 seconds, which is 39 minutes, they controlled the ball. That's what I thought they were going to have difficulty without McCaffrey, without having the confidence in J.P. Mason. But, man, he looked like Marshawn Lynch and some of these big boys that I felt like, Steiny, when you average 5.3 yards a pop, that's what Mason did on the ground. I saw Jet guys making business decisions, as the great Deion Sanders once called it.
888-957-9570 is the number. The 49ers, they're 1-0, 32-19 over the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, very pedestrian. Breece Hall, so-so. And the offense of the New York Jets was pretty much handled by the 49ers. And then what also happens, obviously, is the 49ers start controlling the ball and using up a lot of time of possession.
Man.
The other team commits two turnovers. That puts more pressure on them when they do have the ball and they're not turning it over. And it just felt like the Jets, after they got down, were trying to do a little too much. And that's where they couldn't make up the ground.
And listen,
you start getting more.
Okay,
yeah, there's more and more pressure on a team offensively to score, and the more pressure they face to score, the more they're likely to have a quick possession because they're trying to do maybe more than they need to do and trying to break off some big plays to get into the game. So that's the way I viewed last night's game. The Jets just didn't have the ball enough to establish anything.
Yeah.
And it was because they couldn't string first downs together.
And just think about fatigue if you're a Jet defender, Steiny. And I talked about it. The Niners went on a 12-play drive, went 67 yards, 12 plays. Just think about all the tackling, dealing with Mason for 5 minutes and 49 seconds. Another 12-play drive for 75 yards. Another 5:14 off the clock. 11 plays for 7 minutes. Donnie, that's half a quarter. The Niners went on a drive. 11 plays, 7 minutes and 18 seconds for 70 yards. That's why, you know, in the second half, the Jets look wore down, and I saw guys in white jerseys having Mason coming at him, Donnie, making the Deion Sanders like, oh, boy, this is a load. It's going to be a bear to take him down. So kudos to Kyle. Kudos for the execution. The offensive line, we didn't even mention Pooney's, Donnie. I mean, a right guard made his first start, and I was talking about Quinny Williams. Oh, my gosh, they were running at Williams. I mean, Kyle was running at him.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.